own set of characteristics that demonstrate specific brain activity and a unique state of consciousness. Here's a brief description of the four. Beta waves, 15 to 40 hertz. This is the brain rhythm in the normal state of wakefulness, associated with thinking, conscious problem solving, and attention towards the outer world. You are most likely in a beta state right now while listening to this. Alpha waves, 9 to 14 hertz. When you're truly relaxed, your brain waves slow from the hyper-alertness of the beta waves to the gentle waves of alpha. The alpha state is where meditation begins, and it's a brainwave frequency that heightens your imagination, visualization, memory, learning, and concentration. This is the gateway to the subconscious mind and reprogramming your thinking. Theta waves, 4 to 8 hertz. Theta brainwaves are present during deep meditation and light sleep, including the important REM dream state. This is the domain of your subconscious and only experienced momentarily as you drift off to sleep from alpha or wake from deep sleep, which are the delta waves. We are more receptive to insights and information beyond our normal conscious awareness in this state. Some experts state that theta meditation amplifies intuition and other extrasensory perception skills. Delta waves, 1 to 3 hertz. The delta frequency is the slowest of the frequencies and is experienced in deep, dreamless sleep. It is also seen occasionally in very experienced meditators. The delta state is critical to the body's healing process. Much of our regeneration and healing happen in this brainwave state, making getting enough deep sleep critical to our survival. The ability to change brainwaves is one of the reasons meditation works so well. You can consciously, proactively change the way your brain operates, and the potential benefits are tremendous. Yet another important reason why meditation works is the instant change to your autonomic nervous system. Breathing for the win. Food is important, but you can go weeks without it. Water is important, but you can go days without it. We can only go a few minutes without oxygen. It's the most critical component to our health and survival. Breathing is how we get it in and process it. But most of us breathe like we're talking to someone with really bad breath and don't want to fully take in the stink. We tend to breathe shallow and short, barely giving our bodies the oxygen that it needs. But now that we've been talking about breathing, you've probably become more conscious of your breathing, haven't you? You've probably taken a deep breath or two. The crazy thing is, were you not breathing before? Of course you were, but it was running on autopilot. Your breathing is part of your autonomic nervous system, which is a system that acts largely unconsciously. It regulates things like your cardiac function, aka beating your heart, digestion, dilation and contraction of the pupils in your eyes, and of course, respiration. I don't know about you, but I don't want the responsibility of consciously beating my heart and digesting my food. It would be an unearthly challenge if we had to do that. However, controlling your breath is something totally different. We have an autopilot that operates our breathing, but at any time we can jump in and grab the controls. We can make our breathing deeper, more shallow, faster, slower, and variations of it all. We can consciously control our breathing, but why? Evolutionarily speaking, it's to our advantage because our temporary perception doesn't always equal our reality. Breathe like a baby. The autonomic nervous system is regulated by your hypothalamus, again, the master gland that modulates stress, and is the primary mechanism in control of your fight or flight response. When fight or flight is activated, your muscles tense, your heart rate increases, your pupils dilate, blood flow is constricted to many parts of your body, digestion in your stomach and upper intestinal tract slows down or stops altogether, and your breathing becomes faster and shorter. This incredible fight or flight response is a physiological reaction that occurs in response to a perceived harmful event, attack, or threat to your survival. It's a huge evolutionary advantage because it instantaneously shuts down bodily processes that are not critical to short-term survival and heightens bodily processes that are. You now have the enhanced capability to fight that man-eating lion or to run for the hills to find cover. To put it simply, fight or flight is the polar opposite of relaxation and sleep. The key words here are perceived harmful event, attack, or threat to your survival. Your perception is your reality, even if it's not true. Have you ever been walking outside and almost jumped out of your skin because you thought you saw a snake, but it was really just a stick? Your fight or flight system kicked into high gear, but there was no problem to begin with. Stress hormones shot up, but it was just a misinterpretation of your environment. This is a physical example, but the psychological examples are far more prominent. Worry over a job interview, potential layoff, missing a flight, negative comments on social media, loss of money, or an inability to pay a bill, the health and well-being of people that you care about, traffic jams, work deadlines, and on and on and on. Even though these things hardly ever really hurt us, many of us worry about them on a daily basis. All of these things that stress us out and create fear are activating our fight or flight response system. Just because we perceive them as a threat, the fight or flight system is turning on and our body is experiencing the effects. Basically, today we don't have to worry about the man-eating lions for the most part. So with that freed up space, we have a tendency to manufacture things to worry about. Again, it's not our fault if we're unaware. But once you know this stuff, it becomes your responsibility to change it. We've evolved to hunt and look out for potential danger to keep us safe. Now, billions of us don't have to hunt and look for food. Our biggest danger is choosing what restaurant to eat with a significant other who's incredibly indecisive. It's like that scene from the movie The Notebook. You say, "What do you want?" They say, "It's not that simple." Now, understanding how our primitive programming and old habits can hijack our brains, it's time to take back control. The big thing to remember is that the sympathetic nervous system, the fight or flight system, is a binary system, meaning that it's either off or it's on. It can't be sort of on. It's either on or it's not, just at varying degrees. When it's off, the counter side of the system is the parasympathetic nervous system, appropriately known as the rest and digest system. Just as you can influence if the sympathetic system is turned on, you can activate the parasympathetic system too, and the breath is the key. We can literally put ourselves in a stress response with shallow breathing and not even know it. We may feel angry, stressed, or anxious and not realize that we are breathing shallowly because we're stuck in traffic or worried about something in the future. Fortunately, you can hop in and take control of your respiratory system and help bring your body back to homeostasis. The oxygen is critical, obviously, but part of the reason we need to breathe deeply is for detoxification and elimination of waste, especially carbon dioxide. Have you ever wondered where weight goes when you lose it? Research has found that some of the weight is expelled through water and some through heat, but a big portion of it is eliminated through your breath. Cesar Millan is the dog whisperer, but we are all, in fact, fat whisperers. Breathing deep is powerful, but it's a tough state of affairs because we have to relearn how to breathe again. I say relearn because there was a time when you did it perfectly. If you ever see a peaceful baby breathing, their belly is rising high with each inhale and sinking in with each exhale. If I'm at a live event and ask an audience member to demonstrate how to breathe deeply, the first thing that happens is their shoulders shoot straight up when they inhale. Funny, I didn't know your lungs and your diaphragm were in your shoulders. This is a result of habitual chest breathing. You're just filling the store window display of your lungs and not fully exercising them and filling them with air. To regain your ability to breathe like a pro, try this. Sit up straight in a comfortable position with your head facing forward and your shoulders relaxed. You can close your eyes if you like, but it's not necessary. Place your right hand on your belly and rest your left hand on your lap. Now, on your first inhale, You're going to think about filling your belly and lungs with air from the bottom up, like pouring water into a container. Keeping your shoulders relaxed, breathe in deeply through your nose, filling your belly with air as you feel it expanding right in your hand. Fill your lungs to the very tip top while keeping your shoulders relaxed. Then hold all of that energizing air in for 2 seconds. Now breathe out through your nose as you empty your belly and lungs of every drop of air. You can feel your belly collapsing right under your hand. Get out every drop and be empty so that you can be filled again with something better. Hold everything out for a count of 2. Now again, take a deep breath in, filling your belly and lungs with air from the bottom up, like pouring water into a container. Repeat all steps for 5 complete rounds of deep inhales and exhales and see how you feel. This can be extended for several more rounds as a highly beneficial breathing meditation, but just a few rounds of focused breathing can instantly change your physiology. This is a really powerful and important practice because you're learning how to instantly guide how your body feels. You can flip on your parasympathetic nervous system at will and even be able to be more in control of your thoughts. It's said that your mind is the kite and your breath is the string. Where your breathing goes, your mind will tend to follow. Short, shallow breaths are connected to stress and anxiety. Deep, rhythmic breaths are connected to relaxation and control. This is why your original design has put the ability to go on manual breathing in your hands. No matter what's going on around you and what you have perceived as a threat, you have the ability to control how you respond. And you can always take back your power if you choose to do so. Breathe deep, relax, and remember how powerful you are to change your state. Mindful of what? Another valuable strategy for meditation is mindfulness meditation. There are entire books written on the subject, but I'll give you the brief summary. Be here now. Most of the time, our thoughts are scurrying off into the future, thinking about all of the things that we could do and need to do. Or they're scurrying off into the past, thinking about the way that things went or how they could have gone differently. Very rarely are we in the present moment, in our bodies, and really taking in life. You can use mindfulness meditations to get back in your body, be more present, and not let time go by on things that don't even exist. As it said, the past is a memory, the future is a dream, and the present is really the gift. Getting in and using your senses is a great way to practice mindfulness meditations. Have you ever wondered why our culture has been obsessed with chefs and cooking shows? Of course, we love to eat, but it's the personalities of the chefs that we get connected with. When top chefs are doing their thing, it's like a deep meditation to them. The smells of the herbs, the sounds of the entree sizzling on the grill, the textures of the food as they chop, dice, and slice it, the tastes, oh, the tastes, as they sample to see if it meets their delight. And the sight of it all with the finished product elegantly displayed on the plate. It's truly a meditative experience if you tune into it. That's what the best chefs do, and their personalities speak volumes because of it. You can turn just about anything into a sensory-filled mindfulness meditation. Mindfulness is really about noticing and tuning into things in the here and now. While walking, you can notice the feel of the ground under your feet, or even breathe deeply, sinking your breath with your steps. You can tune in and be more mindful while you're eating, while you're talking to a friend, instead of thinking about what you're going to say, actually fully, completely listen to them, while taking a shower or a bath, while exercising, while having sex, while cleaning the house, and on and on and on. Really, anything you do can become more meditative. You'll be changing the way your brain operates and improving the health and well-being of your body. And by increasing your parasympathetic tone, you'll be setting yourself up for a lot more really great sleep. What meditation truly does is give you the uncanny ability to focus. This directly affects sleep because when it's time to sleep, your focus should be on, well, sleep. You could take your focus and put it on what you want instead of the bazillion other things that your mind can jump around to. Meditation is a skill, a tool, and a necessity to help you relax. So now that you know the power of meditation and have a sample breathing meditation and mindfulness practice to start with, here are a couple of additional tips to get the most out of your practice and improve your sleep and your brain starting right now. Prime time. One of the best times for meditation is when you're already close to the alpha and theta brainwaves. This would be as soon as you wake up in the morning or right before bed at night. As the American Academy of Sleep Medicine research showed, meditating in the morning is proven to help test subjects sleep better at night. You're creating a conscious neural pathway to relaxation, a buffer against stress, and a profound sense of presence that will help you sleep better in the evening. Start your own meditation practice beginning tomorrow morning, or right now if you're an A player. We hear all the time about unhealthy habits, but this is a healthy habit that you can create to benefit your life in numerous areas. As little as 5 to 10 minutes to start your day will have a cumulative effect on your energy, focus, and ability to sleep smarter. If you ever find yourself in a situation where you wake up too soon and have trouble going back to sleep, simply lie in your bed and practice a breathing meditation to put your brain into the alpha and or theta state to mimic some of the benefits of the sleep that you would normally be missing out on. This is an incredible resource to have at your disposal when you need it. It's all about having the tools and strategies to utilize in our day-to-day lives. Meditation can help rejuvenate your body and mind, supplement your sleep, and improve your performance. If you need help with some additional meditation techniques, I have some for you in the bonus resource guide at sleepsmarterbook.com/bonus. Plus some power tips right now to help your mind and body recover when you're in a pinch. Calm it down, power tip number one. If you decide to meditate at night to help you to wind down for sleep, try doing it before you get into the bed, not while you're in bed. Again, the neural association we want to have with your bed is sleep and sex if you're too sexy for this party. And that's it. You can sit by your bedside and meditate for a few minutes, then slide your way into the bed for a great night's sleep. Calm it down, power tip number two. Use guided meditations to help you to get more acclimated when you're first starting out. This can be really helpful for extremely busy-minded people, because your attention goes to the instructions along the way. Try out the guided meditations in the bonus resource guide. Calm it down, power tip number three. If you do want to use a simple meditation / mindfulness practice to help you fall asleep while lying in bed, try this. Lie peacefully on your back with a comfortable pillow to support your head if you need one. Take a deep breath, breathing in for 5 seconds. Holding in for 5 seconds, then breathing out for 5 seconds, and holding it out for 5 seconds. Do the sequence 3 times. Now shift your focus to breathing and circulating that oxygen to your toes. Visualize the air coming in through your nose, then traveling down to your toes, and then back out again, following the same breathing count. Next, move your attention to your feet. Breathe in through your nose and circulate the air to your feet, following the same breathing count. 5 seconds in, 5 seconds hold, 5 seconds out, and 5 seconds hold. Next, move your attention to your ankles, then your shins, then your knees, then your thighs. Go all the way up your body until you gently drift away. You have to experiment to find out what works best for you. Give this one a try anytime you like. Calm it down, power tip number four. If you found that you're consistently waking up in the middle of the night, there could be a couple of potential causes. The most obvious culprit is abnormal hormone cycles. As we discussed in previous chapters, optimizing your hormones through smart nutrition, exercise, and following the tips in this book is the key to setting your hormones back on track. Another issue could be an unknown or unresolved sleep apnea. It can be sort of like a really, really weak person is choking you. Not anything to blatantly hurt you, but just enough to annoy you and wake you up. Losing weight is key here, as you know, but you may want to work with a physician to get this checked out. A few other issues to consider are low blood sugar, as we discussed in Chapter 13, problems in the gastrointestinal tract, as we discussed in Chapter 7, and a big one, psychological stress. With all of the stressors surrounding us today, it can be overwhelming for just about any of us. Having a smart meditation practice and working on the things that you may have been putting off could be a big key to significantly dropping your stress load. Oftentimes, psychological stress results from things we know we, quote, need to do or haven't let go of. Maybe it's working on a relationship you really want, or maybe it's letting another one go. Maybe it's working on a new job skill you really need, or maybe it's letting go of a job that doesn't suit you. Either way, if it's important to you, you've got to take action on doing what you've been putting off. It doesn't all have to be done in one day, but make the commitment to take at least a tiny action in that direction every day. That tiny bit of consistency can do wonders for your psychological well-being. If it's building a better relationship, you have to make a study of it. If it's doing better in your finances, you have to make a study of it. If it's improving your health and wellness, you have to make a study of it. Read a little each day, listen to audiobooks or podcasts, or regularly go to meetups and events to help you to continue to make progress on cultivating the life you really want. Being fulfilled instead of being freaked out is probably a lot closer than you know. Calm it down, power tip number 5. There can be several reasons why your sleep gets interrupted from time to time, but the most significant thing to do is to not sweat it too much. Stacking the conditions in your favor using the Sleep Smarter strategies will help to radically improve the quality of the sleep that you do get and help to make your sleep more valuable and consistent. Of course, we want to make sure that you're not in a chronic state of sleep deprivation, but worrying about whether you're getting enough sleep on occasion and stressing out over it isn't helping anybody. If your sleep happens to be interrupted, meditation and relaxation techniques can be very helpful. If you can simply lie in bed, stay relaxed, and think positive thoughts, even smile and be happy to be alive, then you can go ahead and stay in your bed. However, if you're still working on improving yourself and find that you are agitated and frustrated, then by all means, give yourself permission to get out of bed and journal or read, with the right kind of lighting that we covered in previous chapters, to keep your cortisol low. There's no need to create a negative neural association to your sleeping environment. You may find that you get sleepy again while reading and drift off. There is even some evidence that segmented sleep has been part of human evolution. Segmented sleep is essentially going to bed early in the evening and sleeping 3 to 4 hours, waking up for an hour or two, then returning back to sleep for another 3 to 4 hours until morning. Though this might not be ideal for most people, it's another thing to put your mind at ease and know that you're okay. Calm it down, power tip number 6. There are also more active forms of meditation that you can do to see many of the same benefits without sitting in one place. The Journal of Health Psychology published a study demonstrating that doing a daily Qigong practice for just 1 month was enough to increase sleep duration and other factors of psychological well-being. Qigong is a more than 4,000-year-old form of meditation and energy practice involving controlled breathing and movement exercises. It's growing rapidly in popularity today as more and more studies are advocating its benefits. Another study published in the International Journal of Neuroscience found that a 6-week Qigong practice improved the sleep quality and walking ability of patients with Parkinson's disease. The advantages just go on and on. You can check out my favorite Qigong practice in the bonus resources as well. Tai Chi is often described as meditation in motion, and it's another excellent practice to consider. A study conducted at the University of California, Los Angeles, on 112 healthy older adults with moderate sleep complaints found that 16 weeks of Tai Chi improved the quality and duration of sleep significantly more than the control group. So whether it's a breathing meditation, guided meditation, or movement-based meditations like these, take action to uncover a practice that works for you. The benefits are outstanding, and it only takes a few minutes a day. Chapter 17. Use Smart Supplementation. Many people look to supplements to help them to sleep, but they come with a huge caveat. Ideally, you first need to address the lifestyle issues that are actually causing the sleep problem. If you jump to taking drugs or supplements, then you'll just be treating a symptom and increase the likelihood that you'll develop a dependency on something that can harm you in the long term. So focus on the lifestyle stuff in this book first. Then, if you want, you can respectfully add a natural sleep aid too. I'm going to share with you four of the more gentle to moderate sleep aids. Let's just get started with the most time-tested sleep aid of all. Chamomile. This herb has been used for thousands of years to treat everything from skin disorders to heart disease to inflammation. Today, numerous studies are proving the true efficacy of this ancient plant. For example, a study highlighted in Molecular Medicine Reports showed that chamomile flavonoids have significant anti-inflammatory properties and trigger COX-2 enzyme activity that reduces physical pain. The study also asserts that chamomile can be used as a mild sedative and sleep inducer. The sedative effects appear to be due in large part to a particular flavonoid called apigenin. This compound is abundant in chamomile tea, and it binds to certain GABA receptors in the brain, naturally calming the nervous system activity. Again, because it's a natural compound found in foods and medicinal herbs, it's going to tend to have additional health benefits rather than a page full of potential negative side effects. Apigenin has also been found to be very potent as an anti-cancer compound. Research published in the International Journal of Oncology and the journal Pharmaceutical Research identified that apigenin is protective against a variety of cancer cells, including cancers of the breast, digestive tract, skin, and prostate, and has high selectivity against cancer cells as opposed to non-cancerous cells. Chamomile has been used historically as a sleep aid, but now our modern testing methods are proving its efficacy for this and many other health benefits. What studies show is that chamomile can help calm the nervous system, relax muscles, and set you up for a better night's sleep when you need it. Chamomile is an excellent tea to have before bed. Simply have a standard size cup of tea with an organic, prepackaged chamomile tea bag, and you'll be all good to go. Kava Kava. This is actually the national drink of the beautiful island of Fiji. Kava Kava is well known for its sedative properties and is commonly used to treat sleeplessness and fatigue. A 2004 study published in Human Psychopharmacology also found out that 300 milligrams of Kava Kava may improve mood and cognitive performance. Several additional studies show that it's effective for reducing the signs and symptoms of anxiety, which is definitely an anti-sleep state to be in. The most important sleep-related data on Kava Kava demonstrates that it may help to improve sleep quality and decrease the amount of time needed to fall asleep. Preparing a cup of Kava Kava tea can be part of a relaxing evening ritual. Valerian. This traditional herb is the strongest of the three herbs that I recommend, and a moderate sedative. It's indicated for individuals who have a difficult time falling asleep, and it also promotes uninterrupted sleep. The root of the valerian plant is used as medicine and pressed into a fresh juice or freeze-dried to form a powder. For tea, you can use a prepackaged tea bag or simply pour one cup of boiling water over one teaspoon, which is 2 to 3 grams, of dried root. Steep for 5 to 10 minutes, strain the tea, and enjoy. There are also tinctures and dried powder supplement capsules of valerian as well, as with the previous two other medicinal herbs we've covered. 5-HTP, GABA, and L-tryptophan. I bundled all three of these together because they're not the ideal choices due to the fact that they're not natural herbal preparations like the previous three. These are isolated chemicals, and they can be helpful if intently monitored and used with caution. 5-HTP is a neurotransmitter precursor to serotonin. In our bodies, As you well know from previous chapters, serotonin gets converted into melatonin, the get-good sleep hormone. In a study compiled by the University of Maryland Medical Center, people who took 5-HTP went to sleep quicker and slept more deeply than those who took a placebo. Researchers recommend 200 to 400 milligrams at night to stimulate serotonin, but it may take 6 to 12 weeks to be fully effective. GABA is an important neurotransmitter in the central nervous system. In fact, it is the major inhibitory neurotransmitter in the brain. Therefore, it blocks the action of excitatory brain chemicals. Some people swear by the sedating effects of GABA to help them manage stress. If GABA is of interest to you, 500 milligrams in the evening is a good place to start. L-tryptophan is actually the precursor to 5-HTP. Although you can't get 5-HTP in food, there are several foods that are rich in tryptophan, like turkey, chicken, pumpkin, sunflower seeds, collard greens, and sea veggies. Although these foods can be part of a healthy diet, the trace amounts of tryptophan found in them may not be enough to get the effects you're really looking for. L-tryptophan is a simple, over-the-counter supplement you can use in addition to what you get from your diet. It can ideally be taken 90 minutes before you go to bed. These, like all other supplements, will influence people differently. One supplement might be a miracle for one person that helps them to reestablish their sleep cycle, while for someone else, it may cause them to have crazy dreams or even feel groggier in the morning. Bottom line, it's unique to you whether something is going to be helpful or not. This goes for food, supplements, and even exercise. You have to experiment to find out what is the most intelligent, safest, and most effective long-term choice for you. The melatonin mistake. You'll notice that I didn't include melatonin in the discussion we just had. This has become a very popular supplement as of late, with all of our society's sleeping issues. Many experts agree that melatonin supplementation can be very effective for some people. But what's critical to understand about melatonin is that it's an actual hormone you're taking. And just like any other hormone therapy, such as testosterone therapy or estrogen therapy, it comes with a greater risk of side effects and potential problems. One of the main issues with melatonin supplementation is that it can potentially downregulate your body's natural ability to utilize melatonin on its own. A study published in the Journal of Biological Rhythms discovered that faulty timing or large doses of melatonin can cause desensitization of your melatonin receptors. Essentially, you can start shutting down your body's ability to even use melatonin at all. Many people who've consistently taken melatonin notice that over time, they've had to take more and more. And still, according to board-certified sleep specialist Michael J. Bruce, PhD, their sleep quality really isn't necessarily better. In regards to melatonin, he says, remember, it's a hormone, not a vitamin. So unless you want to take the chance of creating a dependency or shutting down your body's ability to use melatonin, I'd say avoid it or at least try other things first. Taking precursors to melatonin can be a few degrees safer, but still, a word of caution. The best way to use sleep-regulating supplements is in a short-term period to establish a normal sleep pattern or to reestablish a normal sleep pattern after a time zone change from travel or a time change due to daylight savings time. Do safe, smart, natural things first, then only bring the supplements in to, quote, supplement the good things that you're already doing. Supplementation power tip number one. It can't be stressed enough that all the other strategies in this book are recommended before supplementation. In nature, you would not see compounds like this anywhere. They typically have only a few decades of testing, if that, versus the thousands upon thousands of years that humans have been on the planet. Think about it. Your body has an ancient, infinitely intelligent design. Then in comes a chemical isolate made in the science lab last week, and things might not go according to the plan. There are some brilliant scientists and innovators making progress in supplementation and medicine that can be life-saving. But please, never mistake a product in the capsule for being real food. Supplementation power tip number two. Find the right dose for you. Some companies recommend dosages of their products that are often too low or too high for certain individuals. For example, If someone were to use melatonin, though it's not recommended, 150 micrograms for men or 100 micrograms for women would be the ideal place to start. Yet, a common dosage you'll find with some melatonin supplements can be as much as 3,000 micrograms. Height, weight, gut health, stress levels, inflammation, and more are all factors that play into how much of a supplement would be ideal for you. The best advice is to start low and work your way up unless you're 100% certain in what you're doing. Supplementation power tip number 3. Don't mix sleep aids with alcohol. By mixing the two together, you can relax muscles too much, stop breathing, and find yourself waking up like Bruce Willis in the movie The Sixth Sense. Spoiler alert, he was dead and didn't know it. Seriously, taking any sleep aid, be it medication or a supplement, along with alcohol is a really bad idea. Be smart, be safe, and don't talk to the kid who says, "I see dead people." Chapter 18. Be early to rise. We talked at length in Chapter 2 about the benefits of sunlight in helping us to get better sleep. To take it a step further, it's not just the sunlight alone, but waking up in the early part of the day that sets the template for a great night's sleep. According to psychiatrist and psychotherapist Tracy Marks, MD, quote, "Going to bed early and waking up early syncs the body clock with the Earth's natural circadian rhythms, which is more restorative than trying to sleep while the sun's up," end quote. It may seem totally ironic that getting up early can help you to sleep better at night, but this goes back to the fact that humans have certain patterns of sleep and wakefulness that we've only found a way to override within the last 100 years. There was a time, not that long ago in our history, that humans were prey and in tremendous danger if they were rummaging around at night. It's often forgotten that humans are not nocturnal creatures, so let me give you a little proof to remind you. Our eyesight sucks in the darkness. Wild predators like lions have many more rods in their eyes that enable them to see better at night. You can't see them, but they can see you. Equals, you're invited to dinner, but not as a guest. We don't have very strong sense of smell either. Sure, you can smell the lady walking past you at the gym wearing far too much perfume. What is she trying to cover up anyways? But nocturnal animals like the possum can smell trouble from a mile out. We also can't hear well enough to navigate the darkness. A small noise from hundreds of feet away can perk up the ears of a gray fox. They can't see as well as other nocturnal animals, but their keen sense of hearing allows them to hunt and to avoid danger at night. Humans have amazing senses that are really accentuated during the day. This allows us to see vivid colors and beautifully blend together our other senses to understand our environment like no other creature can. The invention of the light bulb helped to brighten our world and enabled us to innovate, grow, and create better communities. Yet the use of artificial light has morphed into an addiction that has seen our sleeping hours and health plummet to all-time lows. Truly, what good is innovation if we don't have our health to enjoy it? You might think, well, we're not in the wild anymore anyway. Time for a Netflix all-night marathon. Woohoo! It's true that we're not in the wild anymore, and our modern amenities do make life nice and comfy. Yet it's also true that your genetics haven't changed much from those of your ancestors who lived closer to nature. Genetic adaptations can take thousands of years, and unless you're a character from the Twilight series, you just don't have that kind of time. Humans, as well as other organisms, have evolved to adjust to a predictable pattern of light and darkness. These patterns establish our internal clocks and hormonal cycles every day of our lives. Once artificial light stepped into the picture, it effectively varied the length of our days. The result, as we've discussed, is that the average person's sleep quality has dramatically decreased, and our body clocks are out of order as sleep and wake times constantly vary from one night to the next. The lack of consistency may be one of the biggest issues of all. The irregular sleeping hours prevent your brain from settling into a pattern, creating a state of perpetual jet lag. It's not just how you sleep, but when you sleep, that helps to create the best version of you. It's critical to create a smart sleep schedule in our world today, and this starts with getting our buns up in the morning. Being part of the Early Riser Club has benefits. In 2008, a study from the University of North Texas found that students who identified themselves as morning people earned significantly higher grades. In fact, the early risers had a full grade point higher than the night owls in the study with a 3.5 to 2.5 GPA respectively. Waking up earlier obviously isn't the only factor in getting good grades, but it's definitely a correlation to take notice of. A better GPA could mean better career opportunities and bigger levels of overall success. Speaking of career opportunities, research published in the Journal of Applied Psychology showed that early birds are more proactive than evening people, and so they tend to do well in business. The study went on to state that morning people also anticipate problems better and minimize them more effectively. This is a huge leverage point in business today, as everything is changing so fast. It's not that people who identify themselves as early risers are better people, or better at everything for that matter. Other studies suggest that night lovers tend to be smarter and more creative than morning types, have a better sense of humor, and can be more outgoing in some instances. The big issue, according to the Harvard Business Review, is that night owls are out of sync with the typical corporate schedule and miss out on critical opportunities more often because their timing is off. So whether you identify yourself as a morning person or a night owl, you can do amazing things in your life. I just want to ensure that you have the greatest advantage possible and that your health is up to par to create the life you really want. This leads to the reality that your health is radically improved when you're honoring your body's natural hormonal clock. Humans are designed to be up during the day and sleeping at night. Being a night owl is a new idea, and you're literally not an owl anyways. Not a morning person? Some people just love getting up early in the morning to take advantage of the day. It's a very empowering feeling to have accomplished so much long before other people have gotten out of bed. Various studies show that morning people tend to exhibit character traits like optimism, satisfaction, and conscientiousness. Getting started on your work goals by 8 a.m. gives you an extra sense of optimism in and of itself. Whereas by 4 p.m., you've had 7 minor problems that have all tried to throw you off your course. Again, being a night owl is a new idea that has only been possible in recent human history. This is a trained behavior that, like it or leave it, is influencing your health and the results in your life. If you firmly believe that you are a night owl and want to make the switch to get your circadian rhythms, hormones, and priorities in order, there are simple steps to do it. Leo Babota from the wildly popular website Zen Habits recommends using a gradual method when changing your sleep schedule. Rather than making the decision to suddenly get up at 6 a.m. when you normally get up at 8 a.m., take gradual 15-minute increments off your wake time until you get to your desired destination. This is a much more graceful way to do it. Oftentimes when people decide to get up early, they throw their sleep cycles into such a shock state that they're more tired and irritated. Plus, they've created a neuroassociation between more pain and waking up early. This causes them to burn through their willpower within days and revert back to their old habits before they know it. If your goal is to wake up at 6 a.m. and you're currently getting up at 8 a.m., set your alarm for 7:45 a.m. instead. Do this for a few days, then move to 7:30 a.m., then move to 7:15 a.m., and so on. This will allow your body to adapt to the new schedule in a much healthier and sustainable way. So how do you resist the urge to just hit the snooze button and forfeit your commitment to getting up? Leo Babota offered these 3 suggestions, and I have to say, they're pretty brilliant. Number 1, get excited. The night before, think of one thing you like to do in the morning that excites you. It could be something you want to write, a new yoga routine, or meditation, or something you like to read, or a work project that has you fired up. In the morning, when you wake up, remember that exciting thing, and that will help to motivate you to get up. 2, jump out of bed. Yes, jump out of bed. With enthusiasm, jump up and spread your arms wide as if to say, Yes, I'm alive. I'm ready to tackle the day with open arms and the gusto of a driven maniac. Seriously, it works. 3. Put your alarm across the room. If it's right next to you, you'll hit the snooze button. So put it on the other side of the room so that you'll have to get up or jump up to turn it off. Then get into the habit of going straight to the bathroom to pee once you've turned it off. Once you're done peeing, you're much less likely to get back into the bed. At this point, remember your exciting thing. If you didn't jump out of bed, at least stretch your arms wide and greet the day. Putting your alarm across the room is also ideal to reduce the amount of EMF exposure, as we talked about in Chapter 12. The EMFs from electronic devices disrupt the communication between the cells in your body, and they're obviously stronger if they're plugged in right next to you. It's not a smart move to sleep with any electronic devices near your body, so don't do it. And here's one more bonus suggestion to beat the urge to get back into bed, and instead energize your body to be ready to take on the day. Wake up your senses. When you get out of bed, get your senses stimulated with something good. A common thing to do is to get that coffee or tea brewing and drink it. The smell, taste, and touch are all enlivening for your senses. I'm a huge advocate of drinking a big glass or two of water first thing in the morning. I call this an inner bath. This will replenish your hydration levels that went down while you were sleeping, help your body to clear out metabolic waste products, and give you a sensory stimulation to wake up your body. You can also take a regular bath or shower too to get you going. Or use more of your senses by turning on some good music and opening the curtains to let the natural light in. There are so many things that will automatically get your mind and body stimulated when you're exposed to them. Try these things out and start your day with real momentum. By waking up early, you start helping your endocrine system to link up with the diurnal patterns of the earth. Get up when the sun rises. It might be challenging at first, but after less than a couple of weeks, your body will adapt to that pattern and you'll feel much more rested and refreshed when you get up. You can break the old pattern of being up late at night, quote, tired and wired, by being early to rise and having a natural release of cortisol, then going to bed earlier and taking advantage of the natural release of melatonin. A quote from one of my son's favorite books, the epic masterpiece Winnie the Pooh, says, "For early to bed and early to rise will make a bear happy and healthy besides." Early to rise power tip number 1. Go to bed within 30 minutes of the same time each night and wake up at the same time each day. Many people in our modern world try to, quote, catch up on sleep and sleep in on the days that they don't have to work. By throwing off your sleep schedule like this, you'll usually find that you're more tired than you want to be on your days off and really dreading getting out of bed once Monday rolls around. Remember, a consistent sleep schedule is important for your health. Try to avoid staying up much later just because you're off the next day. Actually, go to bed and get up so that you can use that day to do the things that you want. I promise you, Netflix does still work during the daytime, and you can get a mini marathon in without the same side effects you'll experience if you stayed up all night long. To stay within your body's desired sleep pattern, you don't have to go to bed at exactly 10:02 p.m. each night, but do your best to make it within 30 minutes of what your ideal sleep time is. Early to rise, power tip number 2. Leo Babota's gradual method works on the other side of getting optimized sleep too. Getting to bed earlier and getting more, quote, money time sleep. As we saw in Chapter 6, you'll get even more hormonal benefit, enzymatic repair and activity, and overall physical and mental rejuvenation by getting to bed earlier and capitalizing on the sleep between the hours of 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. If you've been habitually staying up until 1 o'clock in the morning, suddenly deciding to go to sleep 2 hours earlier could end up being a rocky transition if you try to do it all in one night. Instead, utilize the gradual method, also referred to as advancing the internal clock, to gradually move your bedtime up a little bit earlier until the desired bedtime is reached. If your goal is to be in bed by 11 p.m. and you're currently getting to bed at 1 a.m., Simply move your bedtime up by 15 minutes every couple of days until you hit the goal you really want. Of course, you can rip the band-aid off and go early to bed and early to rise cold turkey, but this is a much more graceful way for you to get there and to enjoy the process of getting better sleep that much faster. Chapter 19. Use body work that works. In a study on chronic pain sufferers published in the International Journal of Neuroscience, it was found that, in addition to decreased long-term pain, test subjects receiving massage therapy experienced improved sleep and an increase in serotonin levels. We all know that massage feels great, but many of us underestimate just how powerful it can be for great sleep. Massage is like a secret key to unlocking your sympathetic fight-or-flight nervous system and activating your parasympathetic rest-and-digest nervous system. When you add in the clinically proven benefits on serotonin production, oxytocin, and reduction of cortisol, it's no wonder that massage can be so helpful for gliding off to dreamland. How do you feel after getting a great massage? You probably don't feel like running a 5K or cleaning up your house. Chances are you don't feel like doing much of anything except relaxing. Everything is calm, cool, and peaceful. Things that would normally bother you don't. Your patience is higher, and you probably have a slight jokerish smile on your face as you look at other people and think, why so serious? Even though we know that massage is a great remedy for stress, people are often shocked to find out the other benefits that massage can deliver. Here are just a few of the notable benefits. Normalization of blood pressure, reduction of inflammatory cytokines, reduced pain, improved mobility, improved symptoms of anxiety and depression, reduction in migraines and headaches, improved digestion and elimination, reduction of stress hormones, improved immune system function. As you might guess from learning about the significance of immune system health, the immune-massage connection is particularly important. A study led by Mark Hyman Rappaport, MD, chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Emory University School of Medicine in Atlanta, discovered that over a 5-week period of time, weekly massage showed substantial neuroendocrine and immune system benefits. Some of the results seen in the study were improvement in the number of lymphocytes, which are white blood cells that help to manage the immune system, a decrease in cortisol, a decrease in arginine vasopressin, this is a hormone believed to play a role in aggression, and a reduction in cytokines linked to inflammation. The question is, with so many benefits related to massage, why aren't more people utilizing it? Rubbing history. Massage has a deep, rich history dating back over 5,000 years. Archaeological evidence of massage has been found in many ancient civilizations, including those in China, Egypt, India, Japan, Rome, and Greece. Throughout time, massage has been used as an effective healing tool. The person often referred to as the father of modern medicine, the Greek physician Hippocrates said, quote, the physician must be experienced in many things, but most assuredly in rubbing, end quote. As time passed and we moved into the 20th century, massage was still being used in hospitals by nurses to help ease patients' pain and to help them to sleep. However, around the 1970s, massage in the medical profession began to fall quickly out of favor with the advent of much more powerful pain medications and tranquilizers. Even still, the field of massage sprouted its own legs and began to grow as a form of therapy, particularly in the world of athletics. Only in recent years have well-conducted studies been done on the value of massage for other health benefits, and this coincided with popular culture starting to put a higher demand on massage. I bet you've noticed a whole lot more massage studios around town, haven't you? At present day, approximately 10% of the U.S. population is utilizing massage therapy at least on a semi-consistent basis. One of the biggest reasons it's growing in popularity is the experiential benefits on reducing stress and improving sleep. Many people don't even make it off the massage table before they drift off to sleep. One study monitoring brain activity found that massage actually increases delta brain waves. As you know from chapter 16, delta brain waves are associated with complete relaxation and deep regenerative sleep. This is yet another reason that bodywork shouldn't be a rare treat in your life. It should really be a necessity. What's your type? Many of the latest studies utilize Swedish massage, which is a technique where pressure is varied from light to vigorous, and the muscles are rubbed with long gliding strokes in the direction of blood returning to the heart. Swedish massage is awesome, though it's just one type of massage that can deliver a whole world of value to your body and your sleep. Here are just some of the other forms of massage and bodywork that have been shown to deliver many of the health-giving benefits that we've been discussing. Acupressure, Ayurvedic massage, cranial sacral therapy, shiatsu, sports massage, stone massage, lomi lomi, myofascial release, reflexology, Thai massage, and watsu. You'll notice that many of these forms of massage require another person, and that's what usually comes to mind when we think about massage. However, there are many forms of bodywork and self-massage that simply require you, your body, which you're hopefully with all the time, and maybe a few cool tricks to maximize your results. A wonderful form of massage that can be done with a practitioner or on your own is acupressure massage. A comprehensive study conducted through the Department of Radiotherapy and Oncology at San Geraldo Hospital in Monza, Italy, found that 60% of patients with sleep disorders had an improvement in sleep quality after at least 2 weeks of acupressure treatment. What was even more impressive is that 79% of the cancer patients in the study had improvements in their sleep quality. But how does this work? Acupressure, a blend of the words acupuncture and pressure, is a form of therapy that's been used for more than 2,000 years. According to researchers, there are specific places in the body where nerves relay signals to other organs and glands of the body if they're engaged. Acupressure is essentially a method of sending a signal to the body, by needle or other means, to turn on its own self-healing or regulatory mechanisms. It's not really radical to understand at all. We all know that every cell in our bodies is managed by a governing force, that is our brain. Every cell, tissue, and organ can give and receive data across this information superhighway that is your body. The acupressure point used in this study was the HT7, which is right under the palm of your hand near the edge of your wrist. In another double-blind, placebo-controlled study on insomnia patients, manipulation of the HT7 point over the course of the study increased urinary melatonin metabolites to normal levels. Basically, the researchers could see from the participants' tinkle that melatonin was doing its job in their bodies. There are many acupressure points on the human body that have been heavily researched. Working with a skilled practitioner and doing some research on your own would be a good idea if you want to learn more about them. Other forms of acupressure-based therapies to check out are EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, and traditional acupuncture. Get your roll on. At night, right before bed, is a great time to employ some body work and self-massage to deactivate your sympathetic nervous system. On a popular episode of my show, New York Times bestselling author Kelly Starrett, doctor of physical therapy, told me that he's found a very specific form of body work that is also a powerful sleep aid. He said, quote, "One of the biggest problems we have in our society right now is people aren't very good at down-regulating. What we see is people getting into a constant sympathetic nervous system versus parasympathetic nervous system tug of war, and the sympathetic nervous system is turned all the way up to 60. We know that you can power up by drinking some coffee or chugging an energy drink and be ready to go. But show me how you can go in reverse from 60 to zero. One of the ways that we know makes a big difference is doing this very complex, very sophisticated thing called gut smashing," end quote. Dr. Starrett saying that it's complex is a little tongue-in-cheek because though the actions are complex, it's something that's incredibly easy to do. strategically massaging your abdominal wall, or what he calls gut smashing, likely works in part by stimulating your vagus nerve. As we discussed in Chapter 7, your vagus nerve interfaces with your heart.